Father, you know where I have been, and you know what I have done. They say that you see everything.
Welcome back to Backbone Radio. This music is scrumptious. Well, thank you for listening tonight. It is a privilege to be here on the air, reflecting over the break. What a privilege it is that I actually know these folks that I'm interviewing and just what they've meant to me as 6 years I've been back in Colorado and just had a chance to know some amazing minds and learn so much. So it's great to work with and know people that you admire. As unfortunately, I feel like I cut Bill short on his paper, and I really do hope that all of you will log on and check it out because it's an excellent read. And, one of the things that he has brought up in the past and as well as in the paper is the issue of school choice. And as I look through my stack of stuff, I see here that Representative Spencer Schwamm and Senator Kevin Lundberg have actually introduced a bill that would create tax credits for parents whose children attend private schools or are homeschooled, which is a very intriguing thought and something that I hope we'll have a chance to talk about later on in the program. I see now that we've got a caller. Let's put him on.
Krista,
hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not too bad. So I'm curious. We've covered a great deal of ground on education here, and I'm wondering, do you have any ideas? So the consumer, the parents, the students can fight back against the system that is clearly stacked against them?
Well, it's great that you asked that. One of the things that I've been doing for the last 12, I don't know, maybe 14 years is education policy and looking at giving parents choices, the ability to choose a school that best meets their children's needs. And, we haven't had a monopoly our entire existence as a nation. Our public schools only date back to the 1850s. And I'm a product of public schools. I went to Columbine High School. I had some great teachers there. I also went to a public university. So I'm not saying that there aren't great public schools out there, but there are also great public charter schools. There are great private schools. There are some wonderful parents out there that are willing to homeschool their kids. And whatever we can do whatever lawmakers can do to enable parents to have more choices, I would say the better. And, we've got about maybe 150 public charter schools in this state. Some are great, some are okay, and some are terrible. And it's up to the parent, just like you would with cars, houses, doctors, any other part of your life, it is really up to the parent to look at the options and choose a high quality option, not just assume it just because there's a government stamp on there that it's a public school, that it's going to be a good one. Really investigate it, find that public school or that public charter school or that private school and put your children there and watch them succeed. One of the things that is unfortunate in this state is that we don't have any private school choice. We have charter schools, which are a great option, but if you're going to choose a private school, you're really on your own. If it's difficult to afford, if you can't afford it, then you really have no choices at all. And before you came on the line, I mentioned this bill, House Bill 1048, that has that would set up a tax credit. It's interesting. There have been tax incentives for education that go back maybe 60 years. Minnesota's tax deduction goes back to the 1950s. And over time, particularly in the 80s and 90s, states have really locked on to this solution of providing parents a tax credit or tax deduction when they choose private schools. And what it does, and it may be a little bit surprising, in that by providing tax credits, the state ultimately saves money because private school tuition is less than public school tuition. So let's say a parent takes a $2,000 tax credit, takes their child out of public school A and puts them into private school B, and ends up, even with that tax credit, the state is not taking in that $2,000, but they're also not paying that, I don't know, I think it's around $8,000 to educate that child. So the taxpayer, in effect, is saving $6,000. It really is, it's a phenomenal solution.
Well, since Colorado doesn't have this tax credit, and we have a finite number of seats in these charter schools, you have a large number of students who have really no other options. So what can a parent do to get better quality out of the school? You have unions who actively fight against any standards and accountability for the teachers. We have demonstrated that the education programs in our colleges are the weakest academic parts of the colleges. And so we take academic weakness, we put it into the classroom, we protect the incompetence with unions, and the student suffers. So what can a parent do to actually make the educational experience of their child a better way?
Well, I would recommend a couple of different things. One of the resources that a parent has is the Independence Institute. They've set up an education website that enables parents to really look at the options that are available and also take a look at some of the tools they can use to judge schools, the quality of schools. And that's available at, I think it's i2i.org, or you could just Google Independence Institute and go onto their education page. Because I think the first thing that a parent should do is get that information. They can also go onto the Colorado Department of Education website and look at school comparison information. So they can say, well, in the state, we've got open enrollment among public schools. So I'm 5 miles from the school and I'm 10 miles from this school. But hey, the school that's a little farther away is actually a better school. I'm going to see if I can enroll my child there. I'm going to look at some charter schools that are in the area. I'm going to do due diligence to find out if they're good schools. I'm going to go to the school. I'm going to check out the atmosphere. Do I see kids walking around aimlessly? And believe me, I've been in about 40 charter schools in the state. And I have seen some schools where kids are wandering around. They're not on task. They're not learning. I don't actually see teaching going on in the classroom. And you don't have to be an expert to see whether kids are learning or not. They're either learning and on task or they're not. And anybody can tell that. So I would recommend go and talk to the principal, talk to some teachers, look at some classrooms, determine if that is a good place for you. If it's private school choice, I would look at the options that are, we don't have any private school choice at this time. As far as tax incentives or vouchers go. But a parent can look at the options out there. Many of the Catholic schools do a good job of making these schools affordable for their kids. Check out what's available. And finally, I think calling your legislator, the state House and Senate, these are the folks that can pass a bill that will give tax credits for parents or vouchers for kids that will make public or private school choice a reality in this state. So I think get informed, check out your options, and then if you know, go to the legislature, talk to your legislators. There are some really great guys there and gals there that are putting forth these bills, and then there are others that are beholden to the union and not interested in furthering public and private school choice for parents and students.
So is there hope? I mean, you take a look at the horizon here. Does Colorado have hope of overcoming the power of the Colorado Education Association, the various teachers' unions, and the monopoly they have?
Well, I think with the divided, I mean, until we're back in a situation where we have more public or more Republican legislators, I think it's going to be pretty difficult. There are more Democrat legislators that are beholden to the unions than Republican. It's possible that Governor Hickenlooper would be open to it. It's possible that he would not be. I tell you, though, what makes me optimistic in the long run, maybe not in this legislative session, but in the long run, I feel optimistic because if you look at school choice programs, be it vouchers or tax credits, and you look at a timeline, see, way back in the 1950s, you have one, and then a good, I don't know, 40 years goes by before something else shows up. And then you see this curve of state after state after state adopting tax credits and vouchers, be it special education vouchers, be it vouchers for poor kids, be it tax credits for those who want to contribute to tuition scholarship organizations or tax credits for parents. What we're seeing is over time, parents are waking up. Policymakers are waking up. People are realizing that, you know, not all schools are created equal. There are good schools and there are bad schools and mediocre schools. And parents need to have the option to choose a school that best meets their child's needs.
Well, the Democrats have seemed willing to throw kids away just to keep the unions happy.
I remember, and I'm paraphrasing here, Al Shanker, the famous union boss, saying that we'll represent kids when they start paying dues. The fact is that there is no special interest group that I know of that is on par with the unions in representing kids. For some teachers, this is a jobs program. For the unions, this is a jobs program. And they don't distinguish between the teacher that works her butt off and the teacher that sits back and plays film strips and takes naps. And the fact is there are both kinds of teachers. There are some great teachers and some teachers that should never be in front of kids. And as long as we have tenure, we're going to see, makes it very difficult for these teachers to be removed. The unions have an enormous amount of money from very often compulsory union dues, and they buy candidates. What's interesting with the Democrats is when I was at the Heritage Foundation, we did a study and found that more congressmen and women put their kids in private schools than the American public. And we also know that the president puts his kids in private schools. Yet Democrats that use private schools very often oppose efforts to enable poor parents to afford those same schools. So there's a little bit of hypocrisy here.
A little bit.
Well, I tell you what, this has been a great phone call. Do you want to hang over on the other side of the break and chat some more?
I've got another question for you on the other side of the break.
Okay, super. Well, we'll talk then.
Thank you.
This is Backbone Radio, and we will be back after this commercial break. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. This is Krista Kafer sitting in for Ross Kaminsky, and we're talking right now to caller Christopher. Christopher, before we went out, we were talking about education and unions and hypocrisy and members of the legislature. You said you had another question.
I did. We consistently hear the drumbeat of education's underfunded. We have to get more money. And then anything that you that one would suggest that more money is not needed, that they need better allocate resources, they fall down in a fetal position of hysteria. But so much of the money is squandered on top-heavy bureaucracies. The students are shortchanged while we add yet another diversity program, yet another administrator, yet another counselor. And so what is the solution? How do we stop this? How do we take the money away from the deadwood and put it into actual classroom education? And I'm going to drop off and listen to it on your answer on the radio. And thanks for taking the call.
Well, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. And, you know, if other folks would like to call in, let me grab the number here. They can call 303-696-1971. And I appreciate anyone who would like to call in. And thank you, Christopher, for doing just that. I like your question. What can we do? And I think that's what it really comes down to. We can complain, we can be frustrated, but in the end, we just need some way to move forward. I want to commend a couple of organizations that are doing the hard work of making that come true. And foremost is the Independence Institute, but there are some other groups as well. There are scholarship groups, and it's ACE is the initials, A-C-E, but I can't think of what that spells. But they give scholarships for inner city and low-income kids to go to private schools. So they're doing some of that work. Any of these organizations that are pushing for school choice, that are communicating with lawmakers, that are breaking down some of these myths and slaying some of these sacred cows, investing in those organizations is one positive step. Because some of this, you know, some of the conclusions that we've talked to, some of the information that we've talked about is not, the people have been deceived and they don't know what we know. So when we talk about, well, you know, we're not really 49th in education. We're actually, you know, kind of middle of the pack when it comes to spending. Actually, we can do better. All the different myths that Bill Maloney points out in his paper, But it takes, you know, it's the difference between talking and having a megaphone. When you give to an organization like the Independence Institute or ACE Scholarships, if you're out on the western part of the state, there's a new conservative think tank out there. There are some organizations that take that money and provide that megaphone, and they go to the legislators and they say, you know what, I know you think the earth is flat, but look, we have a picture. We're actually on an orb. The earth is not flat, it's round. And that's what legislators need to hear. They need to hear, and they need to be in a situation where if they don't hear that there might be some expenses, there might be some costs to that deaf ear come a primary, come election. And by banding together and working through these organizations, I believe that we can take very positive steps. And I think as parents, you know, do the homework. Look at your options and then vote with your feet. Sometimes it means making that financial sacrifice to choose a private school. Sometimes it means going to a public charter school that requires that you drive instead of using the bus. But in the end, your child's education is the most important thing you can invest in. It's not the family car. It's not the new plasma screen TV. It's not the newest education software. It really is that school that where that child is going to spend 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. So I think there are action steps that both parents can take and also voters and citizens with regard to where you put your money, where you send your vote. Anyway, I really appreciate our last caller, and I appreciate the chance to talk to Bill Maloney about his paper. And in the upcoming segment, we'll be talking with Penn Fiffner, and in his the document that he oversaw production for, the Colorado Citizens Report, it has some of this education material in it as well, some very strong, poignant discussion of the education issue where there can be some cost savings and where we can take up that opportunity to cause great improvement in the system, which, you know, it's this idea that a system can last forever. You know, you got to go back and shake things up. And I really appreciate the folks that are doing just that. And I want to put a shout out to Spencer Schwamm and also Kevin Lundberg for tackling that at the legislature. I'm sitting here with this picture that I pulled out of yesterday's Denver Post. It has a dog competing in the under 20 class pulls a 685-pound weight at the National Western Stock Show. I don't know if you've been to the stock show yet this year, but they do this thing where they have dogs pull weights. It's sort of like a tractor pull for dogs. We have a very small dog pulling a 685-pound load. And, I think I'm going to cut this out and just pin it up somewhere in my office, because to me, this shows me what I should expect from our leaders, expect even from myself, that if this little guy here can pull that kind of weight, what am I doing with my time, my treasure, and my talents to move great objects? And I hope that all of you out there are likewise doing what it takes to use your time, your talent, and your treasure to invest in those things that matter. And in many cases, it means moving a mountain. I want to hit one other topic before we go to a break and then hook up with Penn Fiffner, who's going to be here in studio. And that is just something I'd like folks to check out. We've heard all week how discord and rancor and rhetoric has caused violence, which we all know is an outright lie, and possibly, and I hate to be cynical here, but possibly laying the foundations to silence dissent and squelch First Amendment rights. Am I being cynical? I don't know. But as many liberals out there refuse to acknowledge that evil exists and that bad people do evil things, and instead choose to blame, I don't know, Republicans, members of the public, other such innocents, squelch First Amendment rights, deny Second Amendment rights, and so forth. I've been a little bit intrigued by a Brookings Institute author, William Galston's take on involuntary commitment for crazy people. And it's something that has some civil liberties issues involved, and I don't have time to give it full justice, but I recommend checking out the Brookings Institute, going to William Galston, and reading The Tucson Shooter and the Case for Involuntary Commitment. I also checked out the Treatment Advocacy Center that has different laws, including Colorado's law, and what it takes to involuntarily commit somebody who is potentially dangerous, crazy, but has not yet committed an act of violence. And it seems to me, with the right civil liberties, precautions, that people like the Virginia Tech killer and this freak show down in Arizona could be put away from doing public harm. Back in a few minutes.